do as parents if we went to our kids, or what would our the reaction be if we went to our kids and we said, here's your Christmas child, our own children? Is there any reason that we can't share in this regard? As Todd has already mentioned, the empty shoeboxes, if you might not have those, or there's a lot of them stacked on the tables back there. So you're here in the first service, you came early, you got a chance to get those if you don't already have them. So we want you to get those and bring them back next week full. We committed to over, I believe it was around 400 boxes. So next week, this stage will be covered. I'm telling the music team right now to just get, you know, just get used to it. Those of us on stage are going to have to share the stage with boxes next week. And hopefully about 400 to 500 of them, which is what we said our goal was. So I just want us to remember that and to do our best this week to get out, because some child in some country is depending on you for a blessing, for an opportunity, for them to have something that they may not otherwise have. So thanks so much to those of you who have already responded, and for those of you who are going to be responding in the next week. That's a God thing. That's a touch that has an incredible impact. Thanks for the ministries that I know are having packing parties this coming week, as a matter of fact. There's at least two or three that I know of, so I know where a lot of their boxes are, and that's going to be a cool thing, too, because they'll be coming in here as well on Sunday. Thanks. I know that Chuck will greatly appreciate it, as he was here a couple weeks ago, and the little deal that he told us about with the barcode, it really works. Go to the website and go to Easy Give, all right? Do that. Do your giving online. That way you don't have to worry about it. It's safer, and I really encourage you to use that when you go to Samaritan's Purse website. You can find it. It's called Easy Give. So that's what we did on our 25 boxes, and it will be a huge help to them and to you as well. I remember the time when I was in college, believe it or not, it hadn't been so long ago that I can't remember, that I needed a little spending money, right? And so I decided, well, I need to go out and find me a part-time job. I was a pretty studious student. I had to, because things didn't come real natural to me. I wasn't one of those who kind of got A's and or even B's without trying. My wife was one of those who was able to do all that and get, you know, just they're so smart, you know, they make such good grades, you just want to slap them, right? You know the type, right? You know what I'm talking about? It's like they don't have to do anything. They don't have to study or anything, and they would get the great grades. Well, I was not like that, you know. I kind of made it by in high school and applied to a couple colleges. The reason I don't like Carolina today is because they did not let me in when I applied there, all right? They put me on the waiting list and they never called me back. Some waiting list, right? And so I was there and I figured I needed some spending money up at UNCG. And I said, well, you know, what can I do? So I looked in the paper there, in the Greensboro paper, and I thought, you know, what are some, you know, do I see something that would allow me to work a few hours and, you know, not have to work too hard because, you know, guys like me had to really study to get through. And so I answered this ad, one of those ads, and I was still very naive. I am naive today, but I was very naive back then. And I answered this ad, and it turned out to be a telemarketer for a heating and air conditioning company. Now, with my technical and mechanical expertise and background, obviously you would think that I would have been a perfect candidate for this role, right? Well, I went and took the job, and I found myself sitting in a room with a bunch of people in phone banks, and I was reading from a prepared script about why they should use our services. Well, I don't even know why I said ours. I wasn't part of the company. It was kind of a contracted role. And I made it for a good long while on this job. On the second night, I wound up calling a guy who himself was a heating and air conditioning contractor. And you can imagine what happened next. My second night was my last night, because I realized that I had stepped into something that I was woefully equipped for, and that there was basically no way that I could find success doing what I was doing. So I moved away from that, and I went in and I decided, well, I think I'll just be a soccer referee around Greensboro, which I'd already been doing that some, and I think that's how I'll make my money. Because I realized at that point, that was my first experience at really experiencing real failure, because I tried to do something that I really deep down knew that there is no way that I could ever be successful at it. But yet I kind of say, I don't want spending money. I guess it's an easy job, you know, I can make phone calls, etc. Well, I learned that lesson that night or that week, and you know, I found that when you try to do things that you were woefully unequipped for, or even marginally unequipped for, you wind up building the stress level in your life so much that it's not worth it. I also discovered early on, although I didn't really realize it until later, that the most freeing thing you can do is to figure out that which you can do and which you're equipped to do and do it well. I was in the eighth grade, and I was the first year at a new school here in the area. And, you know, I'd kind of fallen in with a lot of the guys. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to play sports. You know, I'd always played sports and all. And so I went out for the soccer team. I'd never played soccer. I'd hardly ever watched it on television. This was 1975, all right? And, yeah, do the math. I don't care. It was 1975, and here I was in the eighth grade, and I was thinking, you know, I like these guys, and, you know, I can do some stuff athletically. So I said, well, what can I do? Well, I watched them first practice or so, and I realized that, you know, what they do with their feet, these guys have been playing for quite a while. I don't think I could really do that and make an impact. So one day the coach said, this was JV coach, and he said, okay, we need a goalkeeper. We don't have a goalkeeper. Ours is not here anymore. Can anybody do? I raised my hand as quick as I could because I know I can catch a ball, all right? I figured that was all it was to it. Well, the bottom line was that was successful for me because I realized that I could not do the things that the other guys were doing with their feet. All right, I wasn't that skilled in feet, but I had played sports that taught me how to use my hands, and I really had no fear about my body. I got scars all over it. So I said, well, I'll try this goalkeeper thing, and that worked. I recognized that my move to that was not based on my strengths, but rather in understanding of my limitations. Does that make sense? And it turns out that in recognizing my limitations, I found something that I could be strong at. I was able to play through high school and even into college in that sport. But it was only as what? A goalkeeper. I could not be a field player because I still had not developed those strengths. So the key that we need to understand today, and we're going to talk about this week and next week, because, you know, when I got up this morning, God has been just racking my brain and my whole being with this issue that we're supposed to talk about today. And I recognize that I had prepared a message for you that is really based on something that, without giving you the prerequisites, may not really be of much value to you. So I want to share with you today three steps, and this is one of the things that God just brought back to my mind today, and I asked Ron to pull this up. This morning, three steps. The first thing that we need to do, if you're going to do anything, if we're going to accomplish anything, we've got to have some knowledge about what we're trying to accomplish. Is that correct? Would you agree with that? There's no use of going out there and trying to do something if we don't know anything about it. That's kind of irresponsible and a waste of time. Would you agree? The second thing that we've got to have is motivation. We've got to have motivation. Something has got to motivate us to get off the chair, get off the couch, get off the pot, whatever you want to call it, and get to doing something. And once the motivation begins to be instilled, only then can we expect the move to the third step, which is what? Action. You see, we can't expect our children to act until we've given them some knowledge, for example, and we've taught them something about motivation, and only then can we expect them to move toward action. And you know what? Children that we parent grow up to be parents themselves and adults, right? And guess what? We're all adults that need these three things. We need knowledge, we need motivation, we need to go to action. But we can't really expect to go to action until after we've had the first couple. So I recognize that the original message I was going to give you today was probably a little bit more about action than it was about the other two. So I want to drop back a little bit, and I want to set the stage, because part of what we were going to talk about today is going to carry over in the next week anyway. So again, don't fret if all your outline fill-ins don't get filled in today. All right, it's okay. We'll take care of that in the next week or so. But what I want to do, first of all, is ask you some questions. Here's the first question. During the meet and greet, Todd asked you to ask three questions of other people. All right, just like we did last week, I'm going to ask some of you to share with us one encounter, just with one of the persons that you met this morning. Tell us their name. Tell us how long they've been coming here. And tell us what ministry they might be involved in. So who wants to start? Who wants to be the first one? Philip, who'd you meet? Okay. Eddie Bristow. Yeah, he handles our coffee machine over in the next deal there, all right? And he also serves as the support to his sister Vera, who is one of the leaders of our Marys and Marthas, or Martha's and Mary small group, right? You're the secret behind the success of Martha's and Mary's, Eddie, right? You told me that before, so. You party at his house, so all these gals go over to Eddie's house, and he's loving it, right? So, right, Eddie. And he's a Red Sox fan. He's my kind of guy. Somebody else, tell me about somebody you met this morning back here, Kim. Okay. Good. Great. Good. Somebody else. Back here, Linda. All right. Good job, Kirk Newton, wherever you are, buddy. He is here. You'll hear Todd laughing and you'll spot him, right? If he's sitting near Todd, yeah. Somebody else, tell me about somebody you met this morning. I hear you, Kirk. Gordon. David. Oh, yeah, David. Yeah, you got first. And you got the middle letter right. So a D and a V and you got an I. So that's good. You got three letters right. Yes, he has. David was one of our I'm going to tell the story. It's a great success story. He was one of our pioneering nursery and preschool workers. And to be honest with you, as good as he is on sound and lights, he's even better with those little kids. Unless you've grown out of it, David, in the tour to Iraq. I don't know if that took that away from you, but fantastic. Thanks, Gordon. Good. Somebody else. Give me somebody you met this morning. Okay. Rob. All right. Cool. Okay, great, good. All right, somebody else. Let's take one more. Share with us one encounter you had this morning. Just one. Okay, Sally. Yep, she does a number of things. Great. Thank you so much. All right, good. Now, was there some value in what you did this morning? Did you learn something about what we talked about last week, connections? And did you learn something about what it takes, maybe, to keep a body of Christ locally going? All right, do you kind of see some of the stuff we're trying to get across here today? Today we're talking about that second major missional thrust. Last week we talked about the issue of authentic connections. We see that one over on our sign. Today we're going to talk about a little bit, begin talking about what it means to engage our strengths. You see, because not only is being a Christ follower about being, just the word follow itself implies action. It implies doing something. Do something. And that is inherent in the life of being a Christ follower. Now, I want to share with you a number of things today, but I also want to kind of share with you a little bit about my story in hopes that it might motivate you a little bit, that it may demotivate some of you. Some of you might think, well, you know, this guy's crazy or he's, you know, dumb, he's an idiot, whatever. You know, I've always lived my life with the idea that, and from way down when I was a little one, that life, a lot of life was to be about accomplishments, things that you need to get done. And I believe that is absolutely true. But the perspective from which you learn to accomplish things is what it's really all about. Are we being Christ followers? Are we accomplishing things because of who Christ sees us to be? Or are we doing it in order for us to achieve significance? Do you see the relationship? The whole issue becomes motivation. We go into that issue of motivation. Are my motives pure? Now, if we're honest, if we're on the road, and if we're striving to be more committed Christ followers, this motivation thing is a continuing tension for all of us. We have to continually ask ourselves the motive check questions. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it all about me? Or is it really because of who Christ is in me? So all of us struggle with that. All right. I don't want you to be scared of that question. I don't want you to shy away from it. I want you to really get into the habit of asking it as regularly as you possibly can. Because I can tell you right now that church can typically be the place where egos can become even more embedded, all right, than they can in the corporate workplace. Typically because churches usually do not have the control mechanisms or the checks and balances in place to weed out those egos. Now, ego is not a bad thing in itself. All of us should have a level of self-esteem. The question is it based on who I think I really am and I'm great, or is it based in who Jesus has said that I am? And in my relationship, or guys, as we talked about last week, in deference to us, our adventure with Christ. Remember we said last week, the church is typically done to cater to women. It is, the way it's always been done. We talk about relationships. We talk about touchy-feely things. Very seldom, guys, do we really get into things that appeal to us. We don't talk about an adventure with Christ. We don't talk about, you know, like I said last week, us getting together and having a big rugby match maybe before church one day instead of showing some of these videos, you know. Maybe we should try that sometime. But see, okay, yeah, a gal says that. A lady is the one that says that. I noticed that. I didn't hear about a guy, you know. But some of the things that we got to think about, what is our motivation? So I want to talk a little bit about motivation this morning and get into a little bit about what we're talking about, because next week we're going to talk about what it means to live a life of worship. And you can't live a life of worship unless you're connected into these things that we're talking about. Worship is about being as well as doing, all right? A life of worship is about being as well as doing. And if we don't understand that, we can't move forward. Well, you know, some of the things that I've, you know, I love multitasking, okay? I do lots of different things. And I want to say thank you for being a leadership team among our elders and for being a body that says, you know, that doesn't put parameters or put your staff members or your elders or your ministry leaders or the people that take care of your children, thank you for not putting those people in a box where it says, you've got to do this and this is the only thing you can do and this is the way you have to do it, da, 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 da. I think that is so stifling, and it takes away the opportunity for the creativity, the God-given creativity that God has placed in each one of you. That type of an environment takes away the opportunity for that to flourish. You see, I believe that all churches should reflect the character of their people. I really do. As long as it's God-honoring. You know what? God made people anyway. And I believe that God honors a whole lot of ways of doing church. Ways, to be honest with you, we hadn't even figured out yet. You know? And it's just kind of out there waiting for it to happen. God honors traditional church. He honors hymns. He honors postmodern stuff, alternative type stuff. He honors drama. He honors you know, media. He honors you know, rock and roll music. He honors, you know, bagpipe music. You know, if it's done in accordance with who God really is, and if it's intended to lift up and honor Him, it goes back to the motivation. See, the motivation's the key. The motivation is the key. That's what it's all about. And we've got to continually ask the motive check. You know, I like to multitask. You know, I'm a husband. I'm a father. I coach. Kids. I had a nice career with AT&T. All within how God equipped me. I was able to start a church. We were able to start a leadership development organization. We were able, my wife and I, to go do something wild and crazy and go adopt a child overseas. You know, there's a lot of adventures that we can say that we've been a part of, all because of God's grace. But, you know, oftentimes I honestly have to look back and I have to ask myself even that gut check question. Is this really about who Jesus is in me and who He says I am? Or is this about me? there is an incredibly stark difference in the two answers. And we've got to be continually asking ourselves that question. You know, I've in the last year, we started a consulting practice. You know, great, cool. That's something I kind of always kind of wanted to do. I've written a book, you know, and I'm still pinching myself. And, you know, people are asking me these questions, and I'm getting phone calls about appearances. And I'm thinking, what is this all about? Have I gotten in way over my head? And I have to be called back to the question, okay, bud, why did you do this in the first place? Why did you do all this in the first place? And it causes me to pause. You know, my wife and I had, she asked me a very honest and sincere question last night, related to the fact that I've got a lot going on, okay? And you know what? I got defensive. I kind of jumped back at her a little bit. And I see some elbows going among spouses already, and some people are already expressing pain. And fortunately, I'm not beside my wife. She's on the back row today. I wouldn't expect her to be in the service. I thought she'd come to the second one, but I just now saw her, all right? So I'm into this, and I guess there's no way to get out of it by just working right through it. Supposed to help. No, these are the kind of stories I tell in the service that she's not in, okay? You get that? And this kind of didn't work out for me today. So I kind of jumped back at her a little bit, and we ended up the night on not so great a note. You know, and it was because sometimes even as I was laying down and going to bed last night, I'd ask myself the question again. Okay, I had to do a reevaluation. Is it too much? You know, why am I doing it? What should I have done better? Because when you get down to it, she was right in what she said. If you didn't catch it, just listen to it on the website this week, all right? I'm not saying it again, all right? But, you know, we struggle with these issues. We struggle with these questions about motivation because, you know, if we have all the knowledge about what Jesus wants us to do, but we have the wrong motivation, the action doesn't matter. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, can God use the action even if we have the proper motivation? Absolutely, He can. Paul said, you know, there's a lot of people in the days of the early church who had horrible motives. It was all about themselves, but they would preach the gospel, and guess what? People would still get saved. But you know what? Paul also said, woe to those people whose motivations are impure, right? God can use it even if we mess it up. But the question is, you know, we don't want to be messing it up, okay? We've got to make sure that our motives are pure, that our motivations are pure. So today I want to move just a little bit into the question. And I want to give you a question that's not on your outline, okay? So you might want to write it down. You know, I used to love watching Star Trek, the old Star Trek, with the egomaniacal William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy and all those guys, you know, before Shatner became a monster, you know. He was my hero. I wanted to be like Captain Kirk, you know, the original Captain Kirk. Not these fake imposter wannabes in these shows and movies that have come out since then. But I loved what the introduction of the show always would say. It would say something about pioneering or looking toward a new frontier. Do you remember that? The frontier. The USS Enterprise was always trying to find the next frontier. So my question for you that we posed last week had to do with what are the next steps in your life? What are the things that you need to do? What are the steps that you need to take in order to move a little closer to where Christ wants you to be, into that relationship or that adventure with Him? Well, I want to broaden that question a little bit this week, and I want to ask you, what is the new frontier in your life? Because can I tell you this, that you will never discover what the new frontier is without taking the steps. Let me give you an example. The steps are pretty visible, right? All right, we can see the steps. But, you know, I would dare say that the frontier is somewhere above that ceiling. That's what we can't see right now. Until God chooses, because of our obedience and our desire to serve Him and to be everything that He wants us to be, until He chooses to reveal it to us, when we become anxious and motivated and desirous, and wanting to know what that frontier is. Is that kind of clear? Am I clear as mud here? Yeah, I'm on one of these kicks today. I don't know where it came from, but it's here, so you got to endure it. All right, I don't know. But what is the next frontier for you? You see, sometimes we can even minimize the Christian walk if we reduce it to only steps. You can do a quiet time, and it can become the most rigid, most legalistic, most stifling part of your life. If it becomes what it's all about. Because sometimes we can get so rigid that we can't... Oh, thanks for the lights. That's nice. Maybe they were there before. I don't know if I noticed it or not. Were they there? Was that just like a God thing? You know, or did you guys turn... Rob, did you turn the light on? Bill, you were not supposed to point to Rob. He was supposed to say it was God doing it. All right? Don't you know that's what we do in church to make it more sensationalistic, right? But the question is, do we really want to know what's up there? I believe that one of the biggest deterrents in the church to us really understanding who God wants us to be, and one of the biggest deterrents from us understanding and going there, is the fact that we're scared of what's above the ceiling. We're scared of the next frontier. You know, the steps are one thing, bud. You know, you can ask me about that. But no, the ceiling's the limit. I'll take the steps. Okay, you beat me into submission on that one. But don't talk to me about the frontier. Don't talk to me about the frontier. Here's the point I want us to bring across today. You are uniquely shaped to do a job in this world. You are uniquely shaped to do a job in this world. Now, if you've been around here like David, like Devin, okay? Thanks, Gordon. Who started out in our nursery, has done everything else here, all right? You've heard this term shape for a long time. And I made a mistake because I stopped talking about it for a while. That was my error, my mistake, helped cause us to lose some focus over time a few years ago, all right? But it is back with a vengeance. Because it states a theological and doctrinal truth that is true of everyone who claims to be a Christ follower. This is at the core of the life of worship. So this is what we're going to be focusing on this week and next as we kind of, you know, finish up this little three-part mini-series called Your Next Steps. You see, I believe that the reason many professing Christ followers don't get around to understanding the step and frontier thing is that they're not locked into the body of Christ, other than by their words. Does that make sense? And your words don't lock you in anywhere. It's your actions. You know, if you're a professing Christ follower, you got something to show for it. No, if you're a professing Christ follower, let me take that back. You've got words to show for it. If you're a genuine Christ follower, you've got actions to show for it.
That's right.
Okay? So I want us to understand that, and that's the basic premise for where I want us to go this particular week. You cannot fulfill your kingdom potential without being a functioning part of a local, active body of Christ. Now, I know in a lot of ways I'm preaching to the choir, okay? Because some of you guys, you got this down. As a matter of fact, I imagine that when you guys went around and did your introductions this morning, you know, I know that some of the newer folks maybe have not gotten plugged into their ministries yet, but we trust that they will at some point. But I would imagine that a very high percentage of you had an answer that says, I am involved in ministry XYZ or ABC. I believe the employment rate, and that's one of the things that we're going to work on calculating in 2009. All right, we're going to talk about this at our mini conference. It's coming up in January 9th and 10th. For those of you, just put it on your calendar, everybody. Okay, we're doing that again this year. But we are really going to be focusing on things like the employment rate. Because you know what? The higher our employment rate goes, the better an indication is that we have people that are moving toward becoming fully devoted followers of Christ. Right? You're engaged in church. You're engaged outside the church in some type of missional work. Well, you've got to have that. You've got to move forward. Jesus said in Matthew 5, He said, "You are the light of the world." Now can I clarify something? A misunderstanding that many people have. when Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, He was not just talking to the 12 disciples. He was talking to thousands of common people. You and I. Okay? That means that the message was intended for the thousands of common people. You and I. So when you read anything Jesus said, just let me tell you, don't try to put off and excuse it and say, well, He was just talking to da-da-da. Now, there were times when He had specific messages for, like, the nation of Israel, okay? That did happen, all right? And you got to study and you got to really understand when they are. But generally, by default, I would suggest that you assume everything that Jesus ever said is directed to you. Okay? We got that? All right. Now, He goes on to say, He says, you're light of the world, like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand, let it shine for all. Shine. Okay? That was really good, Rob. I'm glad you did that. Okay? Shine for all to see. Now, we don't do it because we want to be seen. Right? But because we want who to be seen? Jesus to be seen. So it's okay for you to go out on your own and do stuff with the idea that, hey, I'm doing this because I really want Jesus to be seen. Now, are we going to do it right every time? No. Matter of fact, the constructor of this particular display has already advised me not to take any steps on these steps. Literally. But figuratively, I'm to step on every rung. Sometimes I'll make a misstep. Sometimes you'll make a misstep. But you know what? The making of a misstep, or the taking of a misstep, is far less detrimental than never taking the step at all. As long as it's done with the proper motivation. I want to give you two service objectives that all of us are called to as Christ followers. Two service objectives. This is on your outline. This part is on your outline. Okay? That we talk about. We talk about my ministry, which is service to others in the body of Christ. We should all be focusing on finding a way to serve others in the body of Christ. That's other believers. That's how can we do things that are going to serve those that are already here. Many of the ministries that were mentioned this morning are in the category of ministry. Okay? The things we do in serving. Ministry is what we refer to as what we do within the body of Christ to fellow believers. Okay? The second thing is our mission. That mission is my service to those who were not yet in the body of Christ. Does that make sense? Our ministry and our mission. And the keys to helping us understand some of the things that we need to know and do in this regard are found in this acronym I gave you a few minutes ago called SHAPE, which is what we're going to talk about some next week. I want to leave you this morning with just some findings that the staff and elders have come up with over the past couple of years, okay, with regard to this whole idea of engaging our strengths and reasons maybe that we feel like that we've not really done as good a job as we could in this area. Here's the very first one in terms of our strengths obstacles, as I call them. Ron, let's go to the next one. It was a new one I sent you this morning. Thanks. Can you bring them in one at a time? If you can't, that's okay. The first thing is a fear of self-discovery. People inherently have a fear of self-discovery. We often don't want to go deep enough to really understand what really makes us tick. That's just the way humanity is. It happens among Christians. It happens among those who are not yet Christ followers. Now, why is that? Three things, I believe, that are not on your outline. Fear makes us, it causes us, and it compels us to look honestly at who we really are, for one thing. And that is difficult. Because inherently, we know if we look too close, there are going to be things that we find that we are not going to like. And because of that, we let's bring a mirror next week. Let's do that. Yeah, let's do it. Everybody, we have everybody a mirror, and no, we'll figure out something in the meet and greet creative next week. Todd, take care of it. But anyway, find something creative with that. You know, but we fear what we might find when we get there, because we fear it might be unpleasant. The second thing that is, fear makes us, and know that if we go into the self-discovery mode, we have to consider new roles and responsibilities for ourselves. And a lot of us are so ingrained in what we're doing right now that we don't really care for that, to be honest with you. Because change is uncomfortable. It brings me out of that comfort zone. I've been treating my wife like a dog for 12 years, you know. Why stop now? You know, it's comfortable. And that's where a lot of marriages are. By the way, the movie Fireproof, who's seen it yet? You've all got an assignment that when it comes to Graham Cinema, do not wait for the video. When it comes to Graham Cinema, we were there last night and saw Dark Knight, a movie that is very close to Fireproof, right? That was a joke, all right? That was a joke. I'm a Batman fan. You all got to go see it. You got to. Married or single, I don't care. Go see it. Are you going to go to hell if you don't? Maybe. No. I'm just joking. The third reason that we don't want to look introspectively and we're fearful of self-discovery is that we know that if we do this, we might have to accept new types and levels of accountabilities in our lives. So we're fearful. Look, a lot of us are fearful of the next step, much less the new horizon or the frontier. How do we deal with the fear? Well, that's what we're going to talk about some next week. So, that's the main thing we're going to focus on next week, is how do I overcome the fear of the steps and of the frontier? You can take the slide down now, Ron, because I don't have time to talk about the other three, but that's okay. Because the fear is the main thing I want to focus on, because I think the fear is what drives the other obstacles that the leadership team kind of figured out over the past couple of years. How do we overcome the fear that keeps us from living out our full kingdom potential? How do we overcome the fear that keeps us from discovering our strengths and being honest about our weaknesses enough to where we can be fully deployed in the productive building of the kingdom of God? Because all of us are called to be a part of that building process. You might as well just figure you're a subcontractor somewhere in the big scheme of the kingdom of God being built. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were a contractor on those jobs, and some of you are, would you really be willing to pay a subcontractor who wasn't doing their job? Absolutely not. And yet so many of us glide through the Christian life like those subcontractors not fulfilling their obligations to the contractors, and we're expecting full payment. I just came up with that one. I don't know where it came from. I looked at Todd and found it, right? Actually, I saw some new contractors, and that's what made me think about it. So, look. I love you. I didn't mean for this to step on your toes kind of thing, but you kind of got me going. And I really don't mean it that way, because I really think that I think in many ways I'm preaching to the choir. And I think that for a lot of you, what I'm talking about today is a simple tune-up. Some of you, it's not even a tune-up. You're already there. You don't need a tune-up. You just need to be reminded, and you need something that's going to keep you going this week and the next month and the next 6 months. Because you are so on the right track. There are so many of you that are so on the right track, and I'm so proud of you. And you know what? You don't need me to tell you who you are. You know who you are. I can't believe that's happening to me. That's your phone, honey. Did you just call me? She just hit it anyway. She's telling me, bud, shut up, you're over time. That's what she's telling me. That's the alarm system that we got. Others of you, you're working this way. And you know you need to go this way. You may be in our Connect class after lunch today. You may be in our 301 class after lunch today. Because you want to get to this point. You want to begin, and you want to be on these steps. You want to take the next one. You want to ultimately find the new frontier, whatever it might be, as scary as it might be. My prayer for you this week is that you will consider the question, am I fearful? What am I fearing? And will I be honest about it? Let's pray. God, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for the fact that you are God, that you are mighty, and that you are holy. God, I thank you that you have always been faithful, even when we have failed to come to you. So take our hearts, take our fears, and God, may we confront them, and may we be honest about them. And may we move forward, God, taking the next steps, and Lord, approaching the new frontiers. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thanks for being with us today. Y'all got to get, particularly kids' stuff parents, please get out of here so I won't be in trouble and go straight there. Even if you're not a kids' stuff parent, you need to go check it out. There is incredible talent up the hall, up the sidewalk in the kids' stuff ministry. Don't forget to drop your connection cards in the boxes in the back along with the offerings that you have. Take some Samaritan's Purse boxes and be back here at 6 o'clock tonight with the three churches. You better get here early so you can get a big old front row seat. God bless. Have a great day and a great week. See you tonight, all of you.
I don't want to hear what might go wrong.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.